Good morning, guys. So this morning, just want to know, are you guys tired? No? You guys look like a very energetic crowd today. There's a few of you guys that look like you guys could use a little more sleep, but I'm not going to mention any names, but we'll just leave it at that. God knows, right? This morning, we're going to start off with a little passage, and I'm going to be reading it out of the message. It's out of Matthew 11, 28 to 30. It says, "Are you tired? Worn out? Burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythm of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly." Are you tired? Are you tired? And this is a question that Jesus is asking. Jesus is asking this. Are you tired? As I was preparing for this sermon, everybody hits Google, right? So I hit Google and I asked Google, how people are in their work, how they are related, how they really are, and how they feel when they work. And after we get past some of those basic answers, oh, I'm okay, I'm just feeling, oh, whatever, it's just whatever. And then I went to Lowe's. I had to get some stuff from Lowe's, and this young lady and I was kind of practicing on her, and I said, "How are you feeling today? How are you?" And she just says, "I just can't." And I said, "Oh, it's one of those days, huh?" And so we kind of tend to kind of live really busy in our lives because we let busyness control our lives a lot of times. And then I went further along and I went down Google and I found this little survey. And I want you guys to listen to them and I want you to raise your hand if this is you. Because this shows how busy we are in life and how impatient we really are as people. Number one, I've cut through a gas station to avoid stopping at a red light. Number two, I don't always like to take vacations where there isn't something to do. Because you know God wants us to rest, you know that, right, guys? Number three, I frequently look at my phone for no apparent reason. Be honest, God is watching, guys. Number four, people who talk slowly irritate me. Wayne. Number five, I often switch lines because I think this one is too slow. Number six, I believe God makes whatever line I'm in the slowest. Number seven, when I go to sleep, my mind often rehearses all the things I haven't got done that day or I have to do it tomorrow. Number eight, I have difficulty finding time for things like paying bills or going to the doctor. Number nine, and I don't want you guys to raise your hand on this one, okay? I feel compelled to leave church early to beat the parking lot rush. That, my friends, you really don't have to raise your hand, but God knows. And guess what? We also know, too, who leaves church early. We watching. Well, today we'll be talking on a little subject about emotions. Emotions are a spiritual thing. And when we talk about being worn out being tired. That might not seem so much as an emotion. But one thing that we do know about being tired is that when we feel really exhausted, it makes us very vulnerable to other emotions. And we need to be freed from that. There's a lot of studies out there, and they show the busier you are, the more tired you are, you're more likely to experience things like depression, like anxiety, and you might get irritable. So we find being tired is truly a gateway to some of these emotions that we might struggle with. This morning, we're going to be walking through a journey of David, through the book of Psalms. And we all know David. David expressed himself through emotions and prayer. And we could honestly say that David was a very emotional man. And this is probably the most famous psalm ever in the book of Psalms. So let's open our Bibles or your app, whatever you have this morning, to Psalms 23, verses 1 and 3. And I just want us to focus on these three small verses, because I believe that these three verses unlock the whole passage. This is what David wants us to hear. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now let's read it together. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Here we find David saying that the Lord is his shepherd. So that makes the Lord the shepherd, makes David the sheep. And I get it, sheep are not very impressive animals. They eat a lot. But a sheep depends a lot on their shepherd. And one of the reasons we struggle with the rhythm of rest in our lives is because we get this relationship confused. We start living like the shepherd instead of the sheep. If we live like we have to depend on ourselves, I have to provide for myself, we got to make it happen. And when we live like the shepherd, we put all that pressure that ourselves creates and all the burdens that we create for ourselves, and we give it to somebody else to let him carry it. And this is why David is saying, I am not the shepherd, I am the sheep. And by saying that he's the sheep, David is humbling himself. We as a people, you and I, we're also admitting that we're in the state of dependency. We're asking God and telling him, I can't take care of myself. Lord, I need you. And I'm trusting him to help me, because I trust him and I know he's got my back. And guess what? I lack nothing. And because I lack nothing, I could rest. Emotions are different. Every emotion has the power to move us a certain direction. Would you guys agree? Emotions aren't necessarily good or bad. Even though we're taught from the very beginning that there's a way we should feel, and there's a way that we shouldn't feel. What we see in the Bible is an emotion. An emotion has the power and the potential to either move us away from God or draw us closer to God. About a year ago, I had this buddy. And I'm not going to mention his name because pride gets in the way. He drove this 2018 BMW and he thought it was the hottest thing around. And he got this car brand new off the lot, but he never changed the oil. And we all know that we have to change the oil every 3,000 miles, right? If you use synthetic, 45, 5. But here's this man. And I'm going to tell you, he was probably a very smart individual. He could afford a nice car like that. But he didn't have the common sense that he needed to stop to change the oil because he kept going and going and going and going. And he drove this thing for 80,000 miles without ever changing the oil. I mean, do you ever wonder how far you really could get without changing the oil? And guess what? He was driving. In the back of his mind, he kept telling himself, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Oh, I'll change that oil. That light came on, and it kept coming on. And he just kept going and going because he was too busy. As he was driving, the engine seized up. And that reminds me, in life, we're so busy and so consumed with what we need. That we never stop driving. And just like this guy, he had the sense, just like we do, that he could violate the manufacturer's instructions, change the oil every 3,000 miles. And he thought he could get away with it. What we find in Scripture, God gives us a rhythm for life. He's the manufacturer. He gives us instructions on how we take care of our bodies, our souls, and our relationships. And part of this rhythm is rest. Certain kind of rest reconnects us with God and replenishes us. We see from the very beginning in the book of Genesis. In the creation, God created the world. And if you got time this week, and you probably won't because we're really busy, right? I want you to just take time and read the creation once again. And read it out loud to yourself. You'll find that the creation is very poetic. There is a rhythm to it. And there's a beat if you read it out loud. And there's two lines that keep showing up as God created the world. And these works might work as a refrain for a song or a poem. But here's the two lines. God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning. God saw that it was good, there was evening, and there was morning. And on the third day, God paused, and he appreciated everything he had done. And then there was evening, and there was morning. And then the fourth day, God works again. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning. And again, there was evening, and there was morning. You see, there's a rhythm there. And if you get through the creation count in Genesis chapter 2-3, it says, God rested from all the work of creation that he had done on the seventh day. He rested. And this is how scripture begins. It begins with the rhythm. Then we go into the book of Exodus, and God takes his people through this rhythm. He actually commands his people to observe the same rhythm in their lives. Why? Because he's the main manufacturer. God knows. He knows how we work. He knows how things are going to be best for us. So he requires this rhythm in our lives. And we need to have this daily rhythm, where it's in the morning and the evening. We need to take time to pause. We need to take time to take a deep breath, say a prayer, and reflect on what God has done for us. Look around and say that it is good. They even had a weekly rhythm that there was a Sabbath, where they would rest from all their work. And what do they do on the Sabbath? Nothing. So he built this rhythm in creation. He made this requirement for us because he knows our lives are made to live with rhythm. And when we violate this rhythm, sooner or later, it catches up to us. We live in the world right now that has no rhythm. People hide in crowds with no rhythm. We just live as fast as we can go and putting rhythm into our lives that God created. And I'm guilty of that. I found myself Friday, and Friday's my day off here at the church. And as I got into my truck, started driving here, and I said, what am I doing going there? It's my day off, and I'm writing a sermon about taking a day off. And in my mind, I try to justify everything. I'm just being obedient to what God called me to do. But what I'm really doing is saying, is this true? It's important for everyone else, but it's not a good time for me. And I agree with it totally in spirit, but my calendar this week was so full, so backed up, I just knew that it wasn't going to work out for me. But yet, we keep going and going and going. And some of us actually have to learn the hard way, right? And we learn that this pace is not sustainable. The things that we start to get going, we get locked up, and you'll pay the price physically or very emotionally. And your body will eventually reach to the point and say, nope, I can't do this no more. Or even our relationals. You'll feel it. You'll feel the effects of living without a rhythm in your life. Because you're not taking the time to connect with people who you love. You're most irritable with them. You're running so far ahead that they are so far behind you and you don't even realize it. It affects me spiritually because I'm not resting. And taking the time to rest with God, and that makes me more vulnerable to temptation. It's more difficult to be in tune what it's His will for my life. We all have a choice. We could take time to pause, enjoy the Sabbath, get your oil change, or it catches up to you. And God designed us for this. In our mind, it's working, and one day the engine's going to lock up. And then what happens? You might have not seen it coming, But God did. We need to live our lives in this rhythm of rest. It resets our physical and renews us emotionally. Living with this rhythm of rest, it shows our real faith. It shows that God has all the power and strength, and that His promise is real. It teaches us to depend on Him. And we are doing what He created us for. God wants us to honor Him with what He asks us to do. And watch how He takes care of us. He says, "Let me be the shepherd, and you be the sheep." Here we also find David saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing." And in one of my Bibles, the word used here as shepherd is actually a compound word. It's just not shepherd, but it's also a shepherd companion. My personal shepherd. David doesn't think of himself as the sheep in this big old huge herd. He knows the shepherd. And from the shepherd's perspective, all the sheep look alike. But the shepherd knows who you are, and he knows who you need. And because he knows us personally, very personally, we lack nothing. The problem here is we're having, the problem is resting. We have to work and work and work harder to get that promotion. We got to get that right title behind our name, the right salary. Some of us even feel like we lack respect. So we just work tirelessly to get what we lack. Maybe you feel like you're lacking a bigger house, a newer car, a better relationship. And you lay at nighttime just consuming these thoughts of what you don't have. What we lack keeps us from resting. And we spend a lot of time on social media, and there you are reminded of what you lack. I made a small list. Dream vacation in the Bahamas. Perfect skin without no blemishes. Actually, you just need to edit the photo because that's what they do, right? Maybe it's a new fad, new style. Maybe you're lacking muscle. Or maybe you're lacking romance, happiness, and a purpose. Let's be real here. We chase it. And then we get to find something. And when we get it and finally catch it, we find something else that we're lacking. And we go back to David, because David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And when I have the relationship right, when I'm the sheep and he's the shepherd, I understand I lack nothing. He's take care of our deepest needs. Our hearts are restless, Lord, until we find rest in you. So are you living like the shepherd? Are you living like the sheep? Psalm 23 says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my souls. He makes me lie down. He makes me lie down." And when I was reading through this, it sounded like David got pushed. He got pushed into laying down. And this is very true. When we violate this, God is going to find a way to lie us down, or we're either going to get knocked down. So we have a choice here. We could either get our oil changed now or wait till the engine locks up. Either way, I guaranteed you're going to stop driving. Rest. It's not the time to do. Rest is the time to be. And for many of us, we're keep adding things on our schedule, just adding, but we're not taking anything off. And I'm guilty of that. So that we were able to recharge in the way David talks about here. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my souls. And this is all about what God is doing for him. David's not saying, these are all the things, you need to do for me. We need to put ourselves in position in order to receive these things from God. David talks about posture. He talks about location. He talks about the place that is peaceful and quiet. And Jesus gives us a perfect example in Mark chapter 1, where Jesus is preaching to the crowds, performing miracles. Jesus was busy. And if anybody ever on earth history had a lot to do in a short span of time, it was Jesus. But yet we find him in verse 35 saying, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. When was it? Early in the morning. This week, take time to read Psalms 23 a few times. And ask yourself, where did Jesus go? He went to a place where it was quiet. He didn't take his phone with him. He was with himself. And what did he do? He took time to pray. He took time to connect with God. And I'm going to leave you today with three questions today about rest. Does it replenish me physically? Does it restore me emotionally? Does it renew me spiritually? God made us to be replenished, he made us to be restored, and he made us to be renewed. That is part of the rhythm he has for us. And I encourage you today to allow God to have that day of rest. We all know it's God's day, and that's why he gave us this Sabbath. We need to be intentional to be restored and let his grace show us that we lack nothing. Let him guide, for he is the shepherd, and we lack nothing. Let us pray. Father, Lord, I do thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for showing us that we lack nothing, Lord. When we put our trust in you, Father, and allow you to be the true shepherd that you are, Father, and we humble ourselves by being the sheep, it's such a precious moment, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for just giving us what we need, all the nourishment, just the perfect things that we need in our life, Lord. We ask you, Father, Lord, that if we feel like we lack nothing, Lord, that you remind us, Lord, that it's important for us to rest, so that we may realize that you are the Lord of our lives. We thank you, Lord, for giving us the time to pause and just reflect on you, Lord. We all need that moment in our lives. Because, Lord, we know you're very mighty, Lord. and you'll give us time, Lord. And if we don't do what you say, Lord, you'll find time to show us that we need to stop and trust in you. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen.